to be preaching this morning about the biblical teaching on hospitality. And some of you might think, well, is hospitality really a biblical topic? Well, we'll be looking at it this morning through lots of different scriptures. But the scriptures that we're going to read are Leviticus 19, Ephesians 2, and Romans 12. From Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, talks about God meeting us when we were strangers. And now we are no longer strangers. Ephesians 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And then our main sermon text for this morning is Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Oh, our Father, I pray that you would instruct us by your word this morning, and that you would use the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, and that they might be acceptable in your sight. Oh, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a young naval officer, I remember our ship making a weekend port visit in Norway. On Saturday, a couple of us went out exploring the city. And as we explored, we saw a storefront that was obviously a church building. We recognized it was a church because of its name, Philadelphia, which we knew meant brotherly love. And it also had a cross on the front of the building. Since we could hear music coming from inside, we entered to see if there was anyone there who could speak English and could tell us about the church. As we walked in, we saw a lady straightening chairs and getting ready for the Sunday services the next day. So we asked her if she spoke English, and we were surprised when she answered enthusiastically in perfect American English, "Yes, I am originally from Brooklyn." We had a lively conversation with her about the church and about how missionaries had planted this church along with a series of other churches in Scandinavian countries. And she invited us to come back the next day for the Sunday service. And then she promised to have someone sit with us who could translate the service for us into English. With that kind of welcome, of course we came back the next day. And not only did someone translate for us, a young couple invited us to come to their house for lunch after the service. It was only a small house in the country outside the city, and the lunch was very simple. But this couple was so hospitable that we stayed with them gladly for the entire rest of the day. And I'm here to tell you that that experience was one of the highlights of my 4 years of active duty naval service. Such is the power of Christian hospitality. In Romans 12:13, we are commanded to seek to show hospitality. And this command is set within a chapter that begins with an exhortation to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. But this is also accompanied by a warning not to conform to the world. One of the many ways that this world seeks to squeeze us into its mold is through shrinking our understanding of hospitality. I'm afraid that we equate hospitality with entertainment. Or we tend to think of hospitality in the church as women's ministry. Or we think in terms of the hospitality industry, hotels, restaurants, and performance venues. Well, this morning, I want to help give you a more well-rounded biblical understanding of hospitality. And if we're going to understand it, the first thing we need to do is define it. And I want you to define hospitality biblically. Romans 12:13 commands, seek to show hospitality. And if we're going to seek to show it, then you need to know, and I need to know, what it is that we're to seek to show. The word that is translated hospitality is derived from two root words. The one root is the verb to love, and it's the same word for love that we get the word Philadelphia. And the other root is the word for stranger. So the biblical word used for hospitality literally means to love strangers. Specifically, to do this through showing warm welcome to strangers and giving of yourselves, giving of your privacy, and giving of your time, maybe even sometimes giving of your money. Hospitality was highly valued in ancient cultures before the days of franchised hotels such as Holiday Inn or Marriott. Hospitality was needed to make travel possible. Travelers depended on people taking them into their homes. And we see this as Jesus sent out the 12 apostles to preach and to minister the gospel in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus told them, whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy and stay there until you depart. The apostles were to expect people to show them hospitality by welcoming them into their homes. And they could expect this because the Lord commanded it, but they could also expect it because hospitality was highly valued in that culture. But I want you to know that biblical hospitality is more than that. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. For the biblically literate Hebrews, this would bring to mind the account of how Abraham welcomed three strangers in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham said to these three strangers, let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. Abraham welcomed these strangers in a tangible way, refreshing them on their journey. But as we read on, we find these strangers weren't just any three strangers. It turned out to be the Lord and His ministering angels. They came to bring good news to Abraham. His wife Sarah would soon be pregnant with a son, and this long-anticipated promised son would be born within the next year. In the New Testament, Jesus makes it clear that loving strangers, particularly seemingly insignificant strangers, gives us a real opportunity to serve the Lord Himself. And speaking of the final judgment, Jesus said, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And then it goes on to give similar examples. The righteous will then ask the Lord when they did this for him. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So hospitality in this age is a way to tangibly serve our Lord. While a biblical definition of hospitality includes what we traditionally think of as women's ministry, it is much more than that. We know it is much more because hospitality is included in the biblical qualifications for elders. 1 Timothy 3:2 tells us that an overseer must be hospitable. So you see, hospitality is a leadership issue in the church. It's a necessary qualification for elders. In summarizing the biblical teaching on hospitality, Dr. Tim Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Manhattan defines hospitality this way. This is the way he defines it on drawing on the biblical evidence. Hospitality is both an attitude of the heart and a practice that turns strangers into guests, into friends, and eventually into brothers and sisters. And I would add that this applies not just in your homes. It also applies in your church family. Now, Bill and the elders, that doesn't mean that you immediately welcome strangers into membership in the church. Rather, it is an attitude and a practice that turns those strangers who walk into the door visiting as first-time visitors, that first turns them into guests, and then it turns them into friends, and then, by God's grace, hopefully into brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, it's not enough just to define hospitality. You also need to understand what the Bible teaches about your motivation for hospitality. And your motivation needs to be of duty. Secondly, draw motivation from God's hospitality. Draw motivation for your own hospitality from God's hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Show hospitality to one another." Now listen to this qualification. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. Now admit it. If your only motivation for hospitality is a sense of duty, there are times when you will grumble because hospitality isn't easy. It takes focusing on someone else rather than on you. If you're merely entertaining, then the focus can be on you and on what kind of host or hostess you are being. But hospitality requires loving the stranger. So the focus has to be on the other person. Hospitality requires giving up some of your freedom, some of your privacy, and some of your rights. Once when our oldest child, Kimberly, was just a toddler, we were coming back from vacation. We had not planned to stop for dinner, but at that time we were living in Maryland and we had to pass through Washington, D.C. And as we approached the Washington area, traffic was at a standstill. Kimberly was hungry and fussy, and we were hungry and probably a little fussy too. So we decided that we needed to stop. We didn't have much money left from our vacation, so as we scanned the fast food menu, we were carefully planning how we could get the most from the few dollars that we had left. As we were carefully calculating what we could do, an older couple approached me and put a $20 bill in my hands and then insisted that we buy a good meal for our family. These were people to whom we were strangers. So we asked them why they were doing this for perfect strangers, and they answered that they had children about our age. And if their children were traveling and running low on money, they would want someone to help them just like they were helping us. So their motivation for hospitality in that fast food restaurant was something like the Golden Rule, but with a slight twist. Whatever you wish that others would do for your children, do also for others' children. That was a strong motivation for them for hospitality. And I can't even begin to tell you what encouragement it was for a tired, hungry young family. Christian hospitality is powerful. But I want you to know that there's an even stronger biblical motivation for hospitality in God's grace. Our love for the stranger flows out of God's prior love for us. And out of His grace, that turns us from strangers into members of His household. God loved us when we were strangers, when we were in bondage to sin, and when we were aliens to His people. And we see that motivation for hospitality stated in the Old Testament, many places, but one of which is Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. When a stranger sojourns with you in the land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Not only were the Old Testament people of God to love the stranger, the high standard for measuring that love was this: love the stranger. How? Okay, did you get it? Love the stranger how? Okay, let's try that one more time. Love the stranger how? As yourself. The motivation was because they had been strangers in Egypt. While they were still strangers, God had delivered them from bondage in Egypt and would deliver them into the promised land. And once in the promised land, they were to treat the stranger as the native born. Now some of you might think, well, we have not been physically delivered from Egypt like Israel was. What about us in the New Testament church? The command in Romans 12:13 to seek hospitality is in the practical application section of the letter to the Romans that begins with the words of verse 1 of chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The therefore looks back to the first 11 chapters of Romans. So what is the motivation for being a living sacrifice? The motivation is all the mercies of God that the Holy Spirit has explained through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapters 1 through 11. And an overarching term that can be used to describe these mercies of God is the sovereign grace of God. And one of the ways that we present our body a living sacrifice is through hospitality. So the motivation for our hospitality is the sovereign grace of God, His unmerited favor to us, even when we weren't even looking for Him. He reached out to us. Now, while not using the word hospitality, Ephesians describes God's sovereign grace as meeting us when we were strangers and aliens, meeting us and then making us part of the very household of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:12 that we were once strangers. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, by the sovereign grace of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has shown us hospitality. He has taken us when we were far away and has brought us near. And so hospitality is one way to picture what grace looks like in delivering us from sin. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We can be hospitable to others because He has first shown His amazing hospitality to us. Draw your motivation for showing hospitality from God's hospitality to you in Jesus Christ. But now the final thing this morning is develop a hospitality lifestyle. develop a lifestyle that is characterized by hospitality. The command in Romans 12:13 is seek to show hospitality. The word translated seek to show connotes strenuous effort. It is proactive. It indicates that you aren't to wait for the stranger to make the first move and to come to you. You are to seek out the stranger. Another way you could translate this command is this way: pursue hospitality. Pursue it. And not only does the word indicate strenuous effort, the tense of the verb in Greek suggests continuous action. You should not pursue hospitality just every once in a while. You should work to make it a lifestyle. John Piper preached a helpful sermon on hospitality back in 1985 entitled Strategic Hospitality. His scripture text was Romans 12:9-13. And you can find this sermon on the Desiring God website. I tell you this because I would commend this sermon to you for further study on this important topic. In his sermon, Strategic Hospitality, John Piper says, the command to be hospitable is not just a command to do something. It's not just a command to do something. It's not just a command that can be legalistically fulfilled with a quota of guests. It is a command to be a certain kind of person. It's a command to be a certain kind of person, namely the kind that doesn't resent having to be hospitable. Later in that same sermon, Piper talks about how God's grace is meant to flow through you. You are not to try to hold on to that grace for yourself, because there is something decaying about being selfish with God's grace. Here's the way Piper puts it. When we practice hospitality, here's what happens. We experience the refreshing joy of becoming conduits of God's hospitality rather than being self-decaying cul-de-sacs. The joy of receiving God's hospitality decays and dies if it doesn't flourish in your own hospitality to others. So what does hospitality look like in a worship service? I'll first give you an example of what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like church members being so intent on fellowshipping with each other that they ignore the new people who've just started coming to the church. Someone has suggested that church members observe a 3-minute rule after the service is over. During the first 3 minutes after the service is over, seek out people you don't know or people that you don't know well to talk to them before you then talk to your friends. That's not saying don't talk to your friends, but just observe a 3-minute rule to talk to new people or people you don't know well first. Now here are a couple of examples of what hospitality does look like. Last week I visited an ARP church that has a growing number of young people attending. And I sat beside one of those young couples. And I think this young couple may have been the first adults to start attending this church in this new wave of young people that is now part of the church. So I asked them what drew them to this church. And they said it was how everyone greeted them. And not only how they greeted them, but how everyone helped them get plugged into the church. And then they said something that was quite sad. They said, it's not like that at the other churches we visited. This church did a stellar job with hospitality, and that helped them bring this young couple into membership. Here's another example. A church consultant was making an anonymous visit to a church that had asked them to help them with revitalization. And when the consultant was entering the building, a greeter greeted him with an unusually warm and effective greeting. This greeting stood out compared to the usual greeting that this consultant receives when visiting a church for the first time. After the service, this consultant sought out the greeter and asked him about his enthusiastic greeting. And here is what that greeter said. He said, "Sir, I may be the first face of Jesus that someone from this community ever sees." Here is how John Piper explained his title, Strategic Hospitality. "What I mean by strategic hospitality is a hospitality that thinks strategically and asks, how can I draw the most people into a deep experience of God's hospitality by the use of my home and my church home? How can I draw the most people in to a deep experience of God's hospitality by the use of my home and my church home?" People of Redeemer, in closing, here are two specific ways that you can immediately apply this message. One, invite each other into your homes. Get to know each other better. Break down walls that would keep you as strangers from each other, even here in the church. And then two, intentionally greet someone you don't know or that you don't know well after the service. Think, how can I show people who visit this church the hospitality of Jesus? You were strangers. God brought you in. Now pursue hospitality. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take each of us and examine us and help us examine ourselves through your Holy Spirit by the standard that you set out to love the stranger as ourselves. And Lord, I pray that by your grace and by your grace alone, that you would turn us into the kind of people who love to show hospitality. And I pray this in Jesus' name, his strong name, who is able to do this. Amen.